What's up, everyone? I'm Joe Pompliano, and this is the Joe Pomp Show. I hope everyone's having a great week so far. I want to apologize in advance if my voice is a little bit raspy. I was traveling last weekend for the Miami Grand Prix, and when I got home, I'm a little bit under the weather, but I'm doing all right, and I'm happy to be with you guys today because we're going to be breaking down ESPN Bet and specifically Penn Entertainment's last earnings call that they did last week. For those of you that are keeping score at home, Penn Entertainment stock is now down 90% from its all-time high, while FanDuel and DraftKings continue to gain market share while also reducing marketing spend. I'm going to run you guys through the entire landscape today and talk to you why ESPN Bet is struggling and while some of the other players, the bigger players in FanDuel and DraftKings, are performing much better. I think you guys are really going to enjoy this episode, but before we get into it, let's quickly hear from today's sponsors. Today's episode is sponsored by Hyper Ice. Hyper Ice is not only one of my favorite companies in all of sports, but they're also one of the fastest growing companies in sports today. Hyper Ice is the official recovery technology partner of leagues like the NBA, MLB, PGA Tour, and even the UFC. And you've probably seen athletes like Naomi Osaka and Erling Haaland using their products. But Hyper Ice isn't just for pro athletes. Me, personally, I use their Hypervolt massage gun and vented heated back wrap several times each week, and it's become an absolute game changer for my health and wellness. Not only is it helpful after hard workouts, but sometimes I just wake up and my back hurts because of how I slept. So I throw on the heated back wrap and it literally solves everything within minutes. It's absolutely incredible, the products that they built, and I want all of you to be able to experience it for yourself. So go check out Hyper Ice today and start recovering like a professional athlete. All of my listeners can use code JOE15 for 15% off their order. So make sure to go check out hyperice.com today and use code JOE15 for 15% off your order. Today's episode is sponsored by Doer. Now, Doer is a company that I'm super excited to be working with because I literally wear their product all the time. For those of you that don't know, Doer makes some of the most comfortable and stylish jeans on the market. Someone put me onto their jeans a few months ago, and I've been wearing them ever since. I wear them out to dinner. I wear them while traveling. I wear them while running errands and so many other things too. And the reason specifically why I like Doer over everyone else in the market today is because Doer has done a fantastic job on both style and comfortability. They literally are stretchable. There's breathability. They absorb moisture really well. And I always feel like sometimes you have to decide between one or the other, jeans that look really good or jeans that are super comfortable and stretch. And I feel like Doer has done an incredible job of merging the two together. They fit really well. They don't shrink. They're super fresh and cool and dry. And I wear them, again, literally everywhere. I'll wear them out to sporting events. I'll wear them on date nights. I'll wear them while I'm just hanging around the house or other things like that. So if you guys need a new pair of jeans, go update your wardrobe and get yourself a pair of Doer jeans today. You can either go to their flagship stores in LA or Denver, or you can go online and get 20% off for listening to this podcast through shopdoer.com/pomp. So the way to spell that is shop, S-H-O-P, then Doer is D-U-E-R.com/pomp. Shopdoer.com. Go get yourself 20% off.
All right, let's talk about ESPN Bet. Now, it's no secret that I've been bearish on ESPN Bet overall. Specifically, I have publicly said that it was irresponsible to use shareholder capital to write off an $850 million loss on Barstool Sports just 6 months after the acquisition was finalized, only to commit another $2 billion to a similar licensing deal, albeit on a bigger scale, with ESPN. The early results made me look kind of silly, though, if we're being honest. Dozens of readers and listeners and industry executives reached out to me, essentially saying that A, ESPN's audience provided Penn with a unique opportunity to lower customer acquisition cost, and B, it was a safer, higher upside bet, no pun intended, than a partnership with Barstool Sports. The early data seemed to confirm this thesis too. ESPN Bet set an industry record with 1.1 million downloads in its first week. The ESPN Bet app was also the number one most downloaded app in Apple's App Store for 100 straight hours, beating FanDuel and DraftKings to account for 70% of all U.S. sportsbook app downloads that week. Now, we could argue that Penn still shouldn't have sold Barstool Sports back to Dave Portnoy for $1 without securing a legitimate non-compete. Barstool has since signed an eight-figure marketing deal with DraftKings, and one can assume a portion of Penn's existing sportsbook users, from Barstool Sportsbook, have followed the company over to DraftKings. But this is really only part of the story. 9 months have passed since the deal was initially announced, and the early results indicate an uncertain future for ESPN Bet. Last Thursday, Penn Entertainment reported its first full quarterly earnings with ESPN Bet data. The company's online segment, which includes ESPN Bet, reported revenue of $208 million, nearly 30% lower than the consensus estimates of $237 million. Penn's online segment also reported adjusted EBITDA losses of $196 million, which, when you combine it with a $334 million loss in Q4 2023, that means Penn's online sports betting operation has lost over $500 million in the last 6 months alone. Now, investors obviously aren't happy with this outcome, as Penn's stock dropped 15% after the earnings call. The company's public equity is now down roughly 90% from its all-time high, and the stock currently sits at its lowest point since COVID-19 caused Penn Entertainment's casino business to shut down in the early part of 2020. So literally, this stock hasn't been lower since the pandemic started. The one bright spot for ESPN Bet is that the sportsbook doubled its monthly active user base year over year to 685,000. The only problem with that, though, is that despite having hundreds of thousands more users, ESPN Bet still produced less revenue than Barstool Sportsbook did during the same quarter last year, $208 million to the $233 million that they did with Barstool last year. So again, for those keeping score at home, that means Penn Entertainment wrote off an $850 million loss and committed $2 billion of shareholder capital at ESPN through a licensing deal, only for their new sportsbook with ESPN branding to produce less quarterly revenue than the one they left. This revenue decline, specifically because they have more users, is due to ESPN Bet's quarterly hold, which came in very low at 4.4%. Now, for those of you who aren't aware, hold is essentially just the percentage of money kept by the house, meaning that ESPN Bet kept $4.40 out of every $100 that was wagered during this last quarter. Penn Entertainment CEO Jay Snowden blamed this on unfavorable sports outcomes, essentially saying that the bets that they didn't want to hit ended up hitting. However, low hold speaks more to the ongoing concerns around ESPN Bet's sports betting product. Not only is the average ESPN Bet user depositing less money than users at other sportsbooks, but they are A, making smaller bets overall, and B, choosing bets that are less profitable for the house. For example, DraftKings reported a hold of 9.5% last quarter. That's double what ESPN Bet was able to do with the same sports schedule, and much, much closer to where leading sportsbooks want to be long term. DraftKings outperformed ESPN Bet because its product is superior. It offers a much better mix of parlays and same-game parlays, which can often produce 20% to maybe even 25% or even higher hold rates. We can then argue whether this is good for the user. It isn't, in my opinion. But increasing hold through parlays is objectively better for the business and therefore investors. Maybe this gets better over time. Penn Entertainment recently convinced ESPN's chief technology officer, Aaron LeBerg, to join the company after 20 years at Disney. And ESPN Bet has had quarters in the past where sports betting hold reached 8.5%. Still, ESPN Bet should be concerned about this. The company recently paid nearly $25 million to switch technology providers, only for its sportsbook to be ranked 11th in a recent market study of U.S. sportsbooks. And to make matters worse, ESPN Bet ranked behind two sportsbooks, BetRivers and BetJack, that are spending less money and still using the same tech provider they paid millions of dollars to leave. Past performance is not indicative of future results. However, it feels like we can comfortably chalk up ESPN Bet's early download success to three things. Number one, ESPN Bet offered hefty bonuses, around $250 for new user signups. Number two, the 1 million plus existing Barstool Sportsbook users had to download the ESPN Bet app to transfer their accounts. And number three, ESPN Bet went live in 17 states on the same day, compared to other long-standing industry competitors who built their business state by state. The truth is that Penn owns less than 5% of the sports betting market today, and it has a long way to go to reach its previously stated goal of 20% market share in 5 years. For context, FanDuel is currently at 41%, DraftKings is at 32%, and ESPN Bet is at less than 5%. But the more concerning part, to me at least, is that while everyone else has historically said there is no competitive mode in sports betting, with the idea being that users will simply follow whoever spends the most marketing money and provides the best odds, it's starting to feel like the most prominent sportsbooks, FanDuel and DraftKings, are proving that consensus wrong. FanDuel and DraftKings have gained market share over the last 12 months while cutting marketing spend. They have higher than average hold rates, primarily driven by parlay mix, and they have both improved customer loyalty, increasing a user's lifetime value through brand recognition and product enhancements. Several risks remain, such as the slowing of legalization in critical states, regulators cracking down on parlays and/or implementing betting limits, and there's always a chance that political figures get more aggressive with tax rates, if you think about New York's 51% tax as an example. However, FanDuel and DraftKings have clearly established themselves as the top dogs. They have reached national recognition, which will help reduce customer acquisition cost over time and should improve lifetime value due to the expensive switching cost. This puts Penn Entertainment in a really difficult spot. The management team recently discussed how upcoming integration into ESPN's fantasy football offering should provide a substantial boost. And maybe it does. But the reality is that ESPN isn't accurately incentivized to do much more than it already is, with $1.5 billion in licensing fees guaranteed no matter what, and an existing 4% equity stake in DraftKings there to provide industry-related upside. That's it for today, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please do me a favor and just share it with a friend. Otherwise, I hope everyone has a great week, and we'll talk on Friday.